I'm Heidi Holton. It is the KEXE Morning Show. Back with us now is Phenology Coordinator Charlie Mitchell, because it's time to talk birds. Charlie wanted so badly to be talking to our guest, Pam Perry. She's always dreamed of this moment, Pam Perry. Retired non-game wildlife biologist from the Brainerd area. She joins us once a month to talk birds. Thanks, Pam.
Oh, good morning, Heidi and Charlie.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks.
Happy to be talking with you.
Yes.
All right, so what are you seeing?
Lots of stuff. And I think it's really summed up. I was listening to the student reports. One of them said, a great week in nature. And it was. I mean, we went through the snowstorm, and then we had north winds, and then things started shifting. And last month, I spoke about the birdcast thing that you can access on the web about finding out how many birds migrated through your county the night before. Saturday night, crowing county, over a million birds moved through.
That's amazing.
I think it's amazing too. I still try to get my head around it, that they can have the computers look at the radar and start counting how many birds and when, and they pick up all of that stuff. And so, of course, I had to get out Sunday and Monday and look for, and I was finding new things everywhere. And some of them were reported on the student reports. Fox sparrows, killdeer, flickers, bluebirds, harriers, turkey vultures, herons, grebes, song sparrows, phoebes. I mean, they all came in, basically.
Yeah, That's wonderful.
A great week in nature, for sure. And, you know, I find it so great. I was listening to the student reports, and here's a teacher getting the kids outdoors and who knows enough about the outdoors that they can teach them and show them. And these kids will remember that stuff. They really will. And the more you learn, more you're out there, the more you learn, the more you see, and the more you're aware of.
Absolutely. And along those lines, I wanted to ask you, how does it help you to know the names of the species you see?
Well, you know, this is a good question. I thought about it for a while, and I go back to when I was at the University of Minnesota, and I kind of changed majors for a couple times. And then finally, when I got into wildlife management, nature type things, outdoor things, I went, oh, this is it. This is it. And I took classes in field botany, getting out, learning all the plants. I took classes in soils and geology. And then we got into the good stuff, ornithology and mammalogy, and learning about all the different critters. And the more I learned and could put names on it, recognizing it, the more I saw and was aware of. And I just find this to be very true with people that I know that are bird watchers. As they learn, at first they're kind of unaware of a lot of the stuff going on, and then it continues and they become more and more aware. Learning bird songs is hard, but you start with a few, and then when you're outdoors, sometimes I walk out the door and right away I'm going cardinal, chickadee, nuthatch. I mean, I'm naming them off in my head. Or when I go to a new place, I'm looking at the trees and the plants and, oh, what kind of habitat is here and what do I think will be here? So I think learning the names, knowing what things are, it just deepens your appreciation of what's out there.
Yeah, and it kind of stops you from our regular life, you know, bill paying, all the stuff that we have to do, you know, vacuuming, all this kind of stuff where you're not connected to anything. I mean, you can't really, it sounds to me like your excitement is is as much as when you were in college and first found this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think it just grows. And I continue to learn. And I love to learn from other people. Getting out, going new places. It's one of the reasons I love to go camping because I'm up in the morning and out poking around and exploring all these places wherever I am. Yeah, but yes, Heidi, bill paying, vacuuming.
Yeah.
Those are not the fun things. The fun things are getting outdoors and where it's real and where things are happening for real.
Right. We just had a text from someone that you both know, Leanne Plinsky. She said, good morning. I saw my first pair of yellow-bellied sapsuckers yesterday at Rotary Park in Brainerd. Happy birding.
What a great name. Yeah. Yellow-bellied sapsucker. It sounds like a schoolyard insult, but it's a great descriptor of the bird.
It is a great description of the bird because they do make those little round holes and then the sap runs out. And did you know that the hummingbirds use that sap too when they return? Because no. It's like sugar.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Leanne is a good friend. She's in the bird club and Audubon, master naturalist, and she's out and about. And Rotary Park that she mentioned here in Brainerd is one of the real gems in this area. And I go there this time of year. I'm there almost every day. Part of the day.
I had a question for you from my last birding adventure. I found a flock of golden crowned kinglets with one brown creeper that seemed to be moving with them. Have you seen that before? Is that a...
Yes.
Yes.
And brown creepers, from my experience, don't tend to move in flocks. But when they move in a flock, they have... the protection, more eyes and ears looking for everything and places to go and where to find things. And so they move with the flocks. And it's like when the warblers start returning. Now we've got some yellow rumps already, but the rest of them will come end of April and May. We'll start getting them. They move with chickadees. They want to find where are things, who's listening for a predator. They'll move around with chickadees like that. Yeah. Yeah, they do that. So when you find a group of birds, you got to look through them and go, is it all that kind or is there somebody else in there? You know,
yeah,
is there
it's kind of like one? Fish, where sometimes they're all the same type of fish and then sometimes they're a mix. And
yes,
I guess many eyes make light work. Or
there's advantages to doing that. So, okay, I wanted to mention an interesting experience that I had during the snowstorm. So I think I can just say the snowstorm. Everybody knows what we mean. It snowed in Brainerd here for 2.5 days straight. Wow. Yep. And on March 20th, at my feeder, there was a yellow-rumped warbler, which is early. And I thought, oh, man, is this bird going to make it through the snowstorm? Because the snowstorm was going to come in on the weekend. It came every day for 2 weeks, eating suet, eating cracked corn. I made sure I had more than one suet cake out there. I like the peanut suet cakes. And sunflower chips, cracked corn, and then, of course, the suet. It would go right to the suet. 2 weeks until the storm was passed, everything started warming up, and then it was gone. I thought that was really interesting. I'd never seen that happen before here.
Yeah. Do yellow warblers normally come to feeders? I think of them as more insect eaters.
Well, of course. Yes. All the warblers, all of them, but the yellow rumps are the earliest, you know, and that's what we're going to see first. They have the ability to eat fruit is what they usually say. And now I've seen them eating like even poison ivy berries or different kinds of fruit when there aren't insects around. But, you know, suet kind of fills the gap in place of insects. And I obviously could survive on the suet and eating some seeds. Uh-huh. Very unusual. Most warblers, no. They're not a winter bird. They're not going to be able to handle that. But for some reason, this bird could. Yeah.
I wonder where it was sheltering to
Well, I wondered that too, and I had no idea. And it must have had a good shelter spot and where it could stay warm, because it got cold some of those nights too with that storm, and it was windy. And I just didn't know when that storm hit. I thought, oh, this is gonna just be bad, you know, afterwards. And nope, just continued right through. Yeah. So that's why when you're watching, you've got all the regular things going on, and then something, sometimes something unusual, and that just pops up at you like this, and that's out of the norm. It's fun to see. Very fun to see.
And if you don't know a yellow-rumped warbler from, you know, a chickadee or a goldfinch, you're never going to notice.
You're not going to notice. Exactly. Exactly. And, I mean, when this bird showed up, it was like, whoa. Yeah, and it's at the feeder. And, you know, they're kind of, this one was still in winter plumage. It was brown streaked, but it had the bright yellow rump and the yellow on the sides. And probably what most people could mistake it for would be like a pine siskin, which has yellow on the wings and is also brown streaked. Similar in size, you know, small like that. Yeah. Yeah, very much. So, I wanted to also mention a couple things that we have coming up. Charlie, your question about learning more and learning names of things, one of the best, you can use books, you can use all sorts of other things, but one of the best ways is to have a teacher. Go outside with someone who knows, like our friend John Latimer. And if you want to learn birds, go out with a bird, someone who knows more than you do. And that's how I learned. Mm-hmm. I spent hours and days, you know, with my teachers. And so we are going to have bird hikes at the Arboretum again this year. They are going to start April 27th, which is a Saturday. They're going to be for 5 weeks, 8 a.m., Wednesdays and Saturdays, starting that last Saturday in April, and then we run all through May. They're free. It helps if you have an Arboretum membership. I think otherwise there's a $5 fee just for using the Arboretum. But from our side, it's free. And we have Bird Club members, Master Naturalists, Audubon people leading the hikes. I'll be doing some leading. I don't know which dates yet. But these are really fun. We call them a hike, but if you've ever been out with birders, you know, it's not very fast or very strenuous. So we tend to stop and look at everything.
A birding meander.
A meander or a stroll. And we have people too that we stop and look at plants. We look at anything, whatever is out there. We're going to be doing that. So That's going to be at the Arboretum here in Brainerd, Wednesdays and Saturdays at 8.
Sam, if you don't know the first thing about birds, do you need to worry about showing up and feeling stupid?
No, we welcome everybody. And we have binoculars too. We lend binoculars and we can show people how to use them. We love having new people. This is not an elitist sort of thing. This is a fun thing that we want to share with people. So you want to learn, come on out. Whether you're a beginner or experienced, we have a good time with that.
And I want to mention, you talked about the birdcast where you can see the migration numbers, and that's the Cornell University. And they also have where I have learned so much from the calls, that Merlin app. So that's also a great way to start your bird watching and listening. And glad to hear that I don't have to know a lot to show up to one of these hikes.
No. And the Merlin app is fabulous. You just turn it on, hold it up, and it'll tell you what birds are making noises, songs, calls, anything. And again, beginners use it and advanced birders use it. What's out there? And just hold it up. And this time of year, I'm already noticing how much noisier it's getting in the morning.
And in the evening, I was hearing, I didn't know that they were robins, but my wife knew that they were robins. Robin in my head. It's the most basic bird call. Doesn't stick in there. But in the evening yesterday, they were, it was so loud. So
Yeah,
many
and
robins.
there's flocks of robins around right now, and they're making lots of noise. And they have their basic song, and then they have some calls and some chirps, and they're noisy. They're making a lot of noise right now. Another opportunity for people to learn and get out is we're going to have an outing on May 4th, and this is through the Bird Club. And we're going to meet up with John Latimer at Rice Lake National Wildlife Refuge on Saturday, May 4th at 9 a.m.
I
And
can't wait.
I'm going to be there.
Me
And
too.
good. And no charge. This is a National Wildlife Refuge in McGregor in Aiken County. We're going to be, it's May, so there's going to be lots, and there should be waterfowl, there's going to be warblers, there's going to be all sorts of stuff, and plants will be coming up. And so come and join us. You don't have to be a member, you don't have to pay anything, just show up and come and meet us. And we will be poking around at Rice Lake National Wildlife Refuge. I have one more thing I wanted to mention, and Charlie, because you've worked on this too, is that I wanted to let you know that I'm meeting with the principal of the Piers Elementary School on Friday, and we're hoping to get phenology started there with their science teacher. I haven't been down there yet. This will be the first time. And I'm just excited to get down there. And then I was talked into staying and working with a group of first graders on little art projects. And I'm really not very good at art projects, but I know a lot about birds. And so I can say yes on this and this. And I know it will just be kind of fun. But so we're getting things going at Piers. And this is on the southern edge of the KXE listening area, but it's still all good. We're down there, and John will get there, and he's going to get them out and get them excited, and hopefully we'll get another school on the phenology
That's
program.
wonderful. Thank you for all your help with that. It does take a community to get that phonology talkbacks section
Yeah.
so active.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think so. And I'm closer than John is. He's in Grand Rapids, so I can just help at least facilitate and get things going. The school just got a grant from the Minnesota Ornithologists Union to get the Raptor Center co to come and do a program in the fall, in September. And so what we're going to try to do is get the kids excited about birds before that, get them doing some things, and get them ready, kind of, and saying, oh, the big event is in the fall when we come back to school, and the Raptor Center is bringing live birds, and we're going to see all this and learn all this.
That's
Absolutely. Pam Perry. She joins us once a month from the Brainerd Lakes area. We talk birds along with Charlie Mitchell, our phenology coordinator. Thanks, you guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
It's great. And I have to end up by saying, get outside. Things are happening out there, and it's going to be beautiful. I'm looking outside right now, and blue sky, and we got sunshine here. So
Sounds
I will be out this afternoon.
great.
Me
Thank
too.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.